episode of Be a Fan. We took a 2-week hiatus as we are slowly treading into the off season. We kind of left off in the midst of a crazy playoffs, and then the playoffs concluded with a bang. And today joining me is, of course, Andrea. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay.
Okay.
That's fine. Yeah.
Okay is a on the, neutral end, maybe on the positive side, but it's all good. It's been a crazy finish, and can you believe it? This is the end of LCS, and I really can't think of a better way of for it to end like this. Of course, this is all still speculation. I know that, you know, they may still retain the name, but it's not going to be the same LCS that we remember.
I mean, yeah, it's going to be different. I don't know. Whole conference thing.
They didn't really, take too much time. Like, right after the playoffs, I already heard rumors of, like, oh, they're going to talk about to the CBLOL about which teams they're going to retain. I still haven't seen a report of which teams are going to stay, but we certainly got rumors swirling around, and we got one banger news we need to kind of dive into. All this happening, and it's not even been a week since we crowned FlyQuest their championship. So, lots to cover. So let's move up and kind of build up that where we left off. We were super accurate, right, Andrea, where we say, like, okay, C9 should have no problem beating 100 Thieves.
Yeah. Everything kind of went the wrong way.
It went completely sideways, and the manner it happened was baffling to me. Okay. Where we left off, I believe, it was the loser's bracket that had to be played out, and also, Team Liquid versus FlyQuest to see who goes to the finals week. And, you know, that was a fun week. I think, was that the weekend where everything went to best of five?
Don't remember.
But it felt like a very intense battle for these teams, except for C9, who just did not show up on Sunday of the week before that. They had the chance to grab a world spot. We thought they had, 100 Thieves versus C9. That was kind of predicted because Dignitas wasn't good. That's right. 100 Thieves and Dignitas battled to a game five, a best of five. And then from there, 100 Thieves pulled off a win. And we're like, okay, it's, not out of the realm of possibility because, Dignitas wasn't that great. And that ended the season of a really, really, a hype team. A team with Licorice, Spica, Sven, right? Mm-hmm. And we say Tomo got his revenge.
Yes, go Tomo.
So, not too surprising. I think I had my bets on Dignitas, but going into that day, I felt like, oh, it's a coin flip. But then Sunday came along, and C9 was supposed to be this team that just go in there, complete their business, punch their ticket for Worlds. They should have been swept. I think they should have been swept on that series. But they pulled off a win in game one. And after that, there was just completely, they checked out. And I have not seen a C9 team this checked out since the Smoothie Sneaky iteration of this.
Nah, come on. We saw the Summit one when they got 3-0 by EG. Because Summit Cologne just... Oh, no, 100 Thieves, actually. Was it 100 Thieves? I don't remember who trioed them, but like they were completely done. The team with Summit and blah, like that team like was leading up super, like they were like super at the top of the league. Mm. They completely crumbled in playoffs. Like Summit won MVP and he was completely run over by the enemy junglers that decided to look top lane and fair. Oh, this guy doesn't have any idea of how to deal with being ganked. So I guess we do that and then C9 doesn't do anything, and they didn't do anything.
Okay, so we can come up with multiple examples of C9 checking out then. But yeah, I think you're. I remember you're correct. Was that the Perks iteration of C9?
No.
It was Summit.
The Perks one was 2021. 2022. Oof. That was Oof. When Iggy was JoJo and Danny, and that was when Under Thieves was their championship lineup.
I guess I was much more hype about the EG team back then to remember what C9 did, but this one...
This was the Fudge Mead. Fudge was Mead.
Oh, the Fudge got sent back to top iteration. Okay. But this team coming in, 100 Thieves is not what we would consider a strong contender at that time. But they pulled it together to really demolish this C9 team that everyone thought was going to feel good. And then, you know, later rumors, we're going to talk about that. It might explain some of this, like, collapse. But a lot of people at the time said this was the most... one of the most shocking outcome from an LCS playoff. You know, you've been a fan of the LCS. Have you... Where would this rank for you as this, not this shocking outcome?
Which part?
The Thieves just completely running over C9.
I mean, if you see C9 season, it wasn't flawless, you know?
Mm-hmm. You saw, right.
And if you see them versus FlyQuest, like, you saw them do the exact same thing. So it's not completely out of the question. And the 100 Thieves was a lot better with Tomo. Like, a lot better.
So it was a niche.
I do think people are overstating the upset of this, because I saw that this won the biggest upset in the LCS history, which I think it's crazy, and it's not even close to the truth. Like, I still remember when Clutch Gaming beat TSM in playoffs, when TSM had never in their lives, I think, missed the finals or something. So that's nowhere near the shock that value level. Of
okay.
Clutch Gaming versus TSM, where Haku Apollo just completely dismantled the Sven Mithy bot lane, and Fevivan just runs over Bjergs, and like that's not no.
That was the TSM that was champion after champion that period.
Yes, they had won like three championships in a row, I believe. So everyone like no one expected them to lose, especially not Clutch Gaming. You know, Clutch Gaming was a team of nobodies, like Solo, Lyra, Fevivan, Hakuhu, Apollo. Who the heck remembers these guys nowadays? Like, where are they? You know what I mean? Like,
it's almost as what I put it. If Immortals have won a get past the top team.
I know, not Immortals, but like that was definitely a good Clutch lineup. I mean, Clutch got to Worlds like next year, so like they weren't completely awful like Immortals, but but I also they were like kind of not really that good. So
okay, since not as to that degree, you have a longer...
I don't think it comes close to beating that one. And then, okay. Like, there's a lot of historical moments in LCS that are far less predictable than this one. Like, I feel like everyone could see the cracks in C9. Just, I think people were hopeful that they will just recover from that. And they did not.
I mean, looking at the whole LCS summer, right? You thought that there was a huge gap between the top three and the rest.
I thought there was a huge gap between TL and the rest.
Yes, well, TL and then the rest. I mean,
and then
TL, a TL tier, and then the
FlyQuest,
rest.
And then C9.
Right.
In that order, no? And then the only reason why we gave C9 the credit that we gave them was because they beat FlyQuest in the regular season.
Correct.
And they didn't just beat them, they destroyed them.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, okay, I guess they are really that much better. So it's TL, then C9, then FlyQuest, but everyone else, yeah, doesn't matter. And it's like...
Or so we thought.
Like, 100 Thieves lost to Dignitas, didn't they?
Yes.
They got 2-0 in regular season.
That's why they
Yes, it's an upset. It is clearly an upset because that completely defies the expectations set by regular season. Like, we thought there was a gap between the top three and the rest of the teams. And we thought 100 Thieves was even worse than Dignitas. And to be honest, they were very close to losing to Dignitas in their best of. So that wasn't that big of a...
That in that game too, I remember that series. I think the school had one.
Yeah, do you think the school had won that series? The question is like, will have Dignitas beaten C9? I honestly think like any team will have beaten C9. After seeing that series, I think that they were completely mentally, like if they beat them once, they beat them the three games. You know.
Jeez, that's how far. So C9.
It feels like they had paper mental. You know, like they look like completely mentally done. Yeah, it was not pretty.
It's interesting because they and NRG were the two feel like the most checked out, like did not play up to their expectation for the two organizations. So yeah, that really punched in 100 Thieves' ticket to Worlds, and you know, they will be our representative. They will be our play-ins, right? They're gonna be in the play-ins.
Indeed.
And they will face off against an LEC representative of the as well. And in the next episode, we probably have to talk about the Worlds format because I find it very interesting that they specifically pit LEC against LCS. I know that brings in viewer, and I love it. I love it. They made an intention to do that. Anyways, let's talk about the finals week as leading up to it. You know, FlyQuest lost to Team Liquid. It was a banger. They went to five games too. That was a weekend of like five games except for the C9 game. And so from there, you can kind of see, okay, FlyQuest might just have solidified themselves as the second best team. I mean, TL still, you know, really, really strong. Mm-hmm. And knocking them down was not unexpected, but FlyQuest put in a lot more fight. They look a lot better than they did in the spring, MSI, and whatever that tournament we don't want to mention. And so Fly got progressively better. So coming into the weekend, FlyQuest against 100 Thieves. I don't think I'm surprised by the result. You're probably not surprised by the result. FlyQuest sweat.
They're just, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was not particularly close. No. I mean, it really solidified that 100 Thieves was not in the same conversation.
No, I mean, it turns out that there were two teams above the rest, not three, but that was it.
We're still one team better than LEC. LEC is a one team region. We are a two team region. We're good. So then the finals was played on Saturday. Because, you know, the LCS does not want to compete with the NFL kickoff weekend. And so we had a highlight for me. You know, most people were probably tuning into something else like college football. Who watches that? But I get to watch this Team Liquid against FlyQuest game. And I have to say, this was a banger of a series. A banger of a finish. But a series in and of itself where, you know, it went really back and forth for a great part, even in game. Okay, maybe not so much. I think each game, the winner was really dictating the flow, you know, outplaying the other one. And we're beginning to see maybe they figured out Team Liquid's weakness. And from the drafts, I really can't tell because it was a fun draft, but I really couldn't tell what they figured out, what clicked for FlyQuest for them to be able to take this series because they look confident in every game that they played. The first game, they won in a 32-minute game, and then second game, Team Liquid came back, stomped them with almost a kill per minute in that game. And that kind of put me in the mindset of, okay, maybe Team Liquid will be fine. They're just, you know, gave up the first game, credit to FlyQuest. The third game came around, FlyQuest this time stomped TL, like 26 kills in a 31-minute game. TL barely got, I mean, they got 8 kills. It seemed like Whipple was the key in every single one of these games. And really gave them this confidence and momentum. And then come game four, this one was caught weird for me. Is this a high quality game for you? I don't know. Did you watch the game in its entirety?
Yeah, I did watch. Mm-hmm. They were very interesting games, for sure. I think I don't know about the quality, but
the game in game four, FlyQuest was supposed to win. I mean, they eventually won, but they were supposed to win. They took a big lead. They got into Team Liquid's base. I think because I forget if it was Core JJ or Umpty that kept getting caught out. No, it was Umpty and APA. They really made an effort to shut down APA. I saw that much, and they demolished the Nexus turret. All they had to do was play, you know, simple. They play like smart and wait, but they got caught out. Busio got caught out. Surprise, surprise. Busio got caught out, and a base defense gave Team Liquid life. Following that up, Team Liquid then aced FlyQuest again. Shortly after that, they survived that onslaught onto the base. And then at that point, I was like, okay, Team Liquid's going to take us to game five. But what happened next? Do you want to tell the story?
No, you can tell it. Go ahead.
Team Liquid was charging into FlyQuest base. I mean, this was the game plan. Give everything you can. They're all dead. This will take a long time to survive. I think Busio respawned just in time. Delayed just enough for the minions to destroy the Team Liquid's Nexus while the Team Liquid was trying to hit the FlyQuest Nexus. And the game just ended with FlyQuest minions being the MVP for me. Oh, I mean, watching that was unbelievable. I don't think I've ever seen a finals end like that. We've seen it happen in regular season, but a finals game? I can't even explain what went wrong. Okay, what was your... Let me hear your perspective as you watch everything unfold.
I mean... That is the final game of the LCS forever.
Oh,
for real?
God,
for real?
Oh my god, can't remember. Yes. Yeah, definitive yes.
Well, what a one statement from the LCS for this to be the last game of the league, you know?
Does this define the LCS? We're just weird.
I don't want to respond to that. I don't want to.
Andreas, like, if I respond or say anything, I will get in trouble. Kind of flash in there. But regardless of how the game won, I think Winion shall be the name of this episode. FlyQuest got their first ever title before
LCS
goes away. Right?
That's true. Yes, that's the first title of FlyQuest. Congrats to them.
They've been chasing this thing for forever.
The closest they were was like...
Spring.
In 2020. They were not close at all in summer. In spring. TL completely wiped them. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I mean, they got to the finals.
The closest they were when the finals, best of five versus TSM in 2020 with the Power of Evil, Santorin, Wild Turtle roster.
I completely forgot about that iteration. The roster 2020. LCS?
Yeah, the summer finals.
I pulled up spring because they made finals too in spring.
Yeah. they were kind of a really good team back then. And I think they were expected to win that series because CSM was kind of bad during the whole year. You know what I mean? They were absolutely terrible and then just made a complete miracle run to Worlds.
I see it now. They played a best of five.
Yeah, they went all best five. Of five and it went to all fives. And yeah, this is the closest FlyQuest had ever been to winning the LCS. Like, just one miracle run from TSM all the way from the lower bracket, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, it was the entire way through to the lower bracket. Because they lost to the Golden Guardians. And then they beat the Golden Guardians to make it back. It's crazy.
Yeah, so this was an iteration of FlyQuest where they were the favored.
Yes, they were the favorite to win. Well, not the favorites to win summer. The favorites to win summer was T9, you know? With the it was the C9, one of the strongest team in the LCS history. It was Licorice, Blaber, Nitsky, Sven, and Volkan, right?
Yes, that was the team.
So that was the one of the strongest teams in the LCS history. So, and they were like the shoo-in to win the summer split, and then they had a complete meltdown. And then Vikings was the strongest team second to them during the whole year. And they were like, yeah, we're going to win the split. And then suddenly a wild TSM appears. Also, Team Liquid was kind of looking really strong too, but like they also got destroyed too. So yeah, like, yeah, it's kind of like, man.
That was...
It was a very competitive playoffs. Very interesting finals. But yeah, that was the closest FlyQuest had ever gotten. Like, yes, I know they were just in final this year, but like, those finals were not even close. Like, right. Spring finals this year was not even close.
That's why I'm glad to have you, because I don't have that kind of memory, and this really helped solidify that FlyQuest. So had Team Liquid won Game 4, I think they could have taken Game 5 too. By then, you have to have like lost all your mental, you know? You were like a shoe-in to win Game 4. You had all the advantage, and then you got aced twice.
I do think, yeah, if you win that game, there's very high chance that you win the last one. Just because of momentum, and because it's a really horrible way to lose if you're FlyQuest. Like, that was a monumental throw if FlyQuest lost that game. So, they will have been like... It will have, like... Not all players are affected the same, but like it definitely has an effect on everyone.
Oh yeah. The whole time the series was played, there was this theme narrative of Whippo, you know, is he going to, you know, lose again? Is he going to get close again? But hey, it's his first title too, I think, right?
Oh my god, I just became angry again at TL. Like, why were they griefing Impact like that? He had such a big lead, man. I can't believe he lost that game. Oh, I'm so mad.
Is this the curse of the MVP? I feel like
I think so.
There was a time, right? Every MVP just could not win finals.
The MVP tends to not win, yeah. it's really, really mean to Impact that they did this to him.
I know. Oh, okay, that's a heartbreak. That's a heartbreak right there. I mean... For what it's worth, Impact tried to drag this team across the finish line.
Mm-hmm.
Whippo just had fun on a Garen. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, he played Garen.
But credit to Busio. I think, you know, for all that he's done throughout the year, where everyone were saying like he would be the reason why FlyQuest lose. If they had lost game four, I could point to the moment where he got killed, solo killed by APA unnecessarily. And that, you know, again, that's why I'm of the opinion had Team Liquid win game four, they would have taken game five. Because momentum, the doubts, the all that would come, you know, all in. But congratulations to Whippo, his first ever title of any region, I believe, right?
No way. No. That cannot be true, actually.
Let me check
There's
his
no way that's
profile.
True. He must have won on Fnatic at some point.
He has... Oh, wait. He has a LEC twice. 2018 yeah. spring, 2018 summer.
You know, there's no way okay. he hasn't won. He was on Fnatic like for 4 years, like, for three or four years or something.
The whole time that I was hearing and listening to the broadcast, I felt like they made it seem like he's never won anything of significance.
No, they even show his result on screen. Like they show the...
It shows how much attention I was paying to that. But his first LCS title, you know, he came in with great expectations and... You know, he got his first. Inspired, added to his collection. Now he has two with two different org. And what a comeback for him. I mean, he had no team last year.
I mean, not about choice.
Right. But Quad would be his first one. Congratulations to Quad, formerly known as Solka, right? So Umpty and Quad, who could never get a title at LCK because of... T1, right? Got their first ever title this year. So just want to put it out there. Masu being like a rookie to carry that team. He played well. I mean, he didn't have to do too much in a couple of those games.
Masu
but he
played
did
really well.
He played really well. And people don't give attention to ADCs anymore, but I think this is exciting. He's, you know...
I mean, NA. He won Rookie of the Year, so...
Yes, and you know the focus has been on who's the next JoJo Pyun, who is the next like you know Blabber, but Masu could be, Yan, you know just in that pool. APA was so my example should have been JoJo Pyun APA. People were focusing on the mid, but we have ADCs. And. Of course, that monkey off Busio's back. I mean, he was highly talented. He just had a really, really rough start to the LCS. So, anything else about FlyQuest you want to discuss?
Nope. Not really.
No. We will have a show dedicated to that. Hopefully, we can have guests. We're trying to plan, not hope. We're planning for have the guests to celebrate their... FlyQuest win that you've been waiting for so long. So that is what we have to look forward to. So FlyQuest will be our first seed representative. Team Liquid will be our second, and 100 Thieves will be our third seed representative at Worlds. And it'll take about a couple of weeks until we find out more about Worlds, I believe. But they did release a schedule of what they'll be discussing. With each, I believe the format is released. If you want to read more on that, I'll put it in the show notes for you to read over yourself. Now, let's talk about a rumor that just kind of dropped, I think, close to Monday or Tuesday. You know, we're barely off the LCS win in summer. And suddenly we have discussion about what the Americas will look like for next year. I guess I don't have any reason to doubt because we have rumored like two of these four teams would drop. And not surprisingly, Immortals is one of them. And Travis says he heard the same now, right? Was it Travis that released this rumor? I believe so. Immortals.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Mm-hmm. So our heartfelt goodbye to, you know, what otherwise was a very... fun team in the last year that they really tried, and we'll probably have to bid adieu to their number one fan Sharpie. He's made it clear that he's going to leave League Esports if Immortals is no longer part of LCS. And then the second team is the NRG. What are your thoughts about that?
I mean, that's kind of wild, no? I cannot talk about this without sounding bitter, but like, it sounds so ridiculous to me that someone will just buy in for like a couple splits and then peace out like that. It's like, especially after winning a championship, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, but like, I think most CLG fans are mad because like, you really took a legacy org and completely took over the worst possible way you could have taken over, and you were very disrespectful to the fan base, and then you started hiring all the people that got you the championship, that got you all the success, and then started firing even more people. And then it's like you decided that, yeah, they had cashed out enough from Riot's stipend, so bye. Like, it feels like such a blow, man. I don't even know.
Like, even before we have heard about, like, the potential downsizing of the LCS, the introduction of NRG really embittered the CLG fan base a lot.
Yes, yes, right? Absolutely. And it was mostly because of the way they did things. Mm. But, like, the thing that is, like, funny to me is, like, people are saying, well, they didn't know that the LCS was going to be, like, come on, be so for real, like, be... Like, be for real, the LCS has not changed that much in the last year that you will think last year you will have thought it had really good prospect. Like, it wasn't a prospering environment. Like, it wasn't going up. Mm-hmm. Like, the stocks weren't going up. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. everyone knew that the LCS was already kind of, like, a decreasing in popularity and decreasing in many things, you know? It wasn't news. So, like... Yeah, I don't think. I think we have heard that TSM has been wanting to sell and they just couldn't find buyers.
Mm-hmm.
So like that will tell you that people already knew that they to rather not invest in. So like, it's not that the situation of the LCS has changed so much that NRG has suddenly decided, oh, never mind, I don't want to be here because this sucks. It's like, no, it already sucked before, like. They already knew it was going to suck.
Mm-hmm.
There is no way. And, like, they already spent, like, after their first split, they went in, they were here. They were already offered to leave. You know what I mean? When that thing came out about how Riot offered all the teams to, mm-hmm. like, so that they could cut down two teams. And then most of the teams heard out, like, what was the offer? What was the idea behind all that? Like, they had already gone through all that. And they still stayed, but they decided to stay, but also they decided to stay in the weirdest way because they decided to stay by not caring at all. Mm. Like, I do not think NRG cared at all about the LCS team. I'm going to be so for real. Like, when they fired, like, the GM,
mm-hmm.
the guy that made the team that won them the championship, it was like, okay, that's kind of insane, no?
Yeah, yeah.
And then they... During the year, their team just was not performing, and they didn't make any changes. They continued to not make any changes towards summer, despite the fact that their team was still struggling and performing really poorly. And I do not think at any time NRG looked like they were in a positive trajectory. So I don't know. So I don't think we got the impression that NRG cared. So this is the least surprising thing to me to hear they are leaving, to be honest. But it's also, like, really silly.
It leaves a bitter taste, for sure. And any future attempts for NRG to get back into the LCS, I hope...
I don't think... I mean, there's no more LCS, so...
well, okay. Americas, and so to speak.
We are already going to lose another team, so...
So far, those are... You know, the two teams rumored, but you know, when it comes to rumors like this, it's pretty much, you know, a done deal. I very rarely have we had like big rumors that didn't come to fruition. You know, we had player signings, we had you know, the changing of the format, all of that. Once it's dropped, you know, that's it. So by all accounts, until it's made official, well, I'm just gonna pretend it's official. So their teams are gone. Now, that doesn't mean that the remaining six are the ones going to stay, but at the very least, for the Dig and the 100 Thieves hopefuls, they're breathing a sigh of relief. But again, they could sell their spot to someone else. Yeah, that's not out of the woodworks yet, but at the very least, we'll just assume that these are the six orgs that will be moving on to 2025. So... We are certainly, you know, saddened for those who are going to lose their jobs and positions. There's like,
yeah,
not just
sure.
the 10 players. There's staff. There's a whole, you know, crew behind the scenes Yeah, so I think I would say for the majority of fan base, they don't really, they won't say much about Immortals. I think that's expected. But NRG, oof, I'm gonna hear some.
I mean, yeah, they just won, and they are fairly liked by the community, the players. So I do think people are more turned on that one. I don't think a lot of people are turned on NRG, on IMT, I mean.
Yep. So looking into that, well, we have a lot more to talk about during the offseason about what that would mean, what that would look like, and what players, what are their path to the LCS now with fewer spots available. And, you know, we can also talk about the guest teams. I think Blue Otter has been making a big noise. I don't, how, where did they finish? I can't even remember what the hell the NACL play out, but they were like, oh, we'll take the guest spot, or you want to buy a spot in. Again, off-season discussion. Now, so let's head on to our final topic. Another bomb dropped. I think it was yesterday. I had fun with this one, but Dom from I Will Dominate, IWD, I saw it all across my Twitter timeline that he was about to drop a bomb. I didn't expect it to be this kind of bomb. So according to Dom, who's, you know, very well connected with a lot of the teams, or C9 in specifically, put out a short video, an 8-minute video detailing how C9 has fired Jojo Pyun. That's the title of his of that show. When that dropped, of course, that took everyone by surprise, and so many things came out. And from what I can get, go watch the video. But from what I can gather, they're going to do something that C9 typically don't do, because C9 will try to offload their players, try to sell their players. But this is, they go to this measure of terminating his contract for cause. And their reason for that is he is tardy to team meetings, to, you know, team events or whatnot. And there was even a citation, and you'll see me putting out there JoJo 43. It's because they counted 43 times. Was that? I don't know. Did you watch that video?
I did watch it. Yes.
Okay. What did they say? Did he say they counted 43 times as a guesstimate, or ever since they start counting? Because it sounded like he was tardy even before those 43.
I am not sure. I would lie to you.
In either case, 43 sounds like a big number, but the response from the rest of the community when they heard this news was fairly interesting to me. But before I even jump in there, you know, where were you when you heard the news? What was your first reaction? You know, how?
I mean, that's one way to start the offseason for sure.
We're starting with a bang, with fire, hot garbage. Did you go into, like, you know, the community and kind of listen, or, you know, what were people saying about this news?
I mean, people were very, you know, split between defending Jojo Pyun or, you know, calling it, that's crazy, how was he late 43 times? And I am going to say that's crazy, how was he late 43 times? Like,
43. Yeah. It's not a small number.
No, it's not a small number at all.
But you're right. The overall, it was a split between defending C9, and then there are those who defended JoJo.
I mean, I'm not defending either of them. I just think that's silly. Like, if, like, any person who has had a job knows that you just don't do that. You know what I mean? Like, you just don't do that and expect nothing to happen to you, you know?
It makes me wonder when it started. Was it like the whole year? It sounded, some people say, like, ever since he got to C9, he was like that. And others are saying, like, you know, he checked out after C9, just did not seem to be headed in any good direction. It comes to the point where you're wondering, like, did the org allow this? The timing of this is very weird too. All right. If it was a problem, how was it addressed? There was no talk about that.
We don't know how it was addressed in the internet, because a lot of people are saying, well, they do nothing. It's like, mm-hmm. I mean, they could have done something, right. But like, you can only do so much. Like, mm-hmm. Here's the thing with this. It's like, okay, I do agree that there's maybe an organizational problem going on. But like, at some point, you have to account for personal responsibility, you know? I mean, like, mm-hmm. even if no one tells me to go early or to go on time to things, I will do it because I know that's the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. So, like, you shouldn't have to be told those things, you know what I mean?
Right, right.
Like, I'm just advocating for that, yeah. You know? Like, it's just...
Silly. If they have to babysit you, that's a whole host of questions and concerns for a person. My job, I go in there not just for myself. I'm accountable to my team. I'm accountable to the people.
Yeah, exactly. That work with. It's also like, yeah, how it makes your team feel that you mm-hmm. do that. People are not going to like you if you do that. You know, like, people are going to like not feel comfortable. Like. It's a whole lot of things that happen. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, I mean, assuming that it's true and assuming that we're not being lied to mm-hmm. and stuff, you know, it's just.
But it almost sounds like at this point, to count it up that highly, did they just tell him, hey, don't be late next time? Was there like, oh, you know, we're just counting in silence? Just to see how often you come in late, we don't talk about it, and then we're gonna use this. Now that can bring legal issues, and that's kind of where we're at, right? We're having to deal with legal issues. Some of the other reactions that I saw across the community was like, "Oh, if the players, if all players are going to get fired for, you know, being tardy, then you know." More than half the people will get fired.
The thing is that C9 is a very strict team when it comes to those things too. Mm.
So okay, I'm not familiar with that kind of reputation. So if you're saying they're a strict team, did they spoil JoJo?
No, but what I mean is like they have their systems, and mm-hmm. what those systems mean is that they have their whole routine stuff that they have mm-hmm. set up for the teams. That is something that we heard about that the last didn't do, and that he didn't like, and that he got removed from the team for fitting in that mm-hmm. standard.
Right, right.
That's something that's known about C9. Mm. That's happened to them before.
So
it's not a particularly unique situation in this mm-hmm. case with them.
Okay,
they are notorious for their. They're having a structure for their players in which they like them to do this and this and do that and like follow a certain things like that.
Mm. So noting that this is going to turn into an ugly story that will follow us into the off season for sure. You know, I don't see any good outcome. It's just very, very ugly situation. At the end of the day, and I guess all we can do is like watch what happens and then discuss about it. I don't want to take sides. Of course, I pissed off a couple of people on the LCS Discord by saying I'm a JoJo Glazer and no matter what CNI says. But honestly, it sounds like both are at fault. Nobody is not responsible in this situation.
I mean, sure, but I mean, like, I still think that even if C9 is at fault for not saying it, I mean, you still shouldn't do that. Like,
yeah,
you still shouldn't be late even if someone doesn't tell you, hey, don't be late. Like,
right.
It's your job.
I mean,
I'm sorry, but it's your job.
Is this what
you have to show up?
Is this what the, I'm going to get in trouble for this. What do you call it? The people who are silent quitting, the
quiet
generation.
Quitting. Yes, sure, you can quiet quit your job, and then you rightly get fired for it.
And so, yeah, I mean,
because your job is not a job that pays, you know, minimum wage. It's your job is you are the highest paid player in the LCS.
Yeah,
and he knows that, and everyone in C9 knows that. Like, we know that Blaber knew that because he told them about it. So, clearly the CNA players were aware of JoJo's Bion's stand among them.
Yeah.
And that, if a player is getting paid more than you and he's still showing up less than you,
right,
your teammates are not going to be happy with that.
That's going to have a major effect on team chemistry. I mean,
that can mess up your team chemistry really bad.
Right. So interesting, because in the Dom video too, it was just a few weeks before that he interviewed Blabber, and Blabber said, you know, JoJo, it was the highest paid player. Mm-hmm. And my word, this is, I gotta say, messy. So with that said though, will that impact JoJo's future possibility? No?
No, it won't at all. In the slightest, because people don't care. They don't even care when you do bad things, you know, like
that's
an infraction, like being late, they won't care about that.
True.
Like, let's be so for real. Like, their players could be literally, like, it will take real something really horrible for a player to get fired, let alone something just like hardiness. Being late.
So, okay, well, then I guess we have a little bit of time, so there's only 5 teams left. I don't think TL will be interested. They have APA. They're fine. So that leaves 4 teams that are potential. His suitors aren't a lot. So I could see him fitting in like a Dignitas. I don't know about 100 Thieves, maybe.
What did you say? That Flagwas wouldn't want him? You think Flagwas wouldn't want him?
I think Flagwas.
You think the team with Andrew Barton and Empire as scout wouldn't want him?
Can they let go of Quad at this point? I mean,
is Quad irreplaceable? Don't you think Quad is irreplaceable? Like, do you think really he's that good that he cannot be replaceable by a native mid laner?
He's very replaceable.
So, I mean, I don't think they shouldn't consider it, to be honest. Like,
okay. So, okay. 4 teams, right? FlyQuest, you make a very convincing statement.
Argument. Like, okay, maybe Quad is very good, but he's not irreplaceable.
It's not. And he could, like, go back to Korea.
It's the same thing with Empty. Like, if Team Liquid got... And I don't think Team Liquid will replace something because of chemistry reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do think he fits very well with their team.
Mm-hmm.
But like, he's one of the most replaceable parts of the team.
Yeah. That's very fair. I mean,
you're not gonna replace Impact. You're not gonna replace Koryuge. You're not gonna replace Jion. Like, which better ADC native ADC talent do you have that you can put in? No one.
Mm.
So it's like, it's always thinking about what advantage, because JoJo Pion is not only a good player, he's a good player that's North American. it's such an important distinction to make there. Like,
it will come down to the way they structure his next contract, I do think. because this will stick. I mean, you can't put the genie back in the bottle, so to speak, because this is all out there. It looks bad. I mean, it's reputation. His reputation is kind of tarnished.
His reputation is not going to be changed in the scenes because people know him, because people have worked with him.
And that's the thing too. It does not indicate that he's a lazy person. At all. He's a hardworking.
In the case that he didn't fit in with what C9 wanted of him. And he seemingly did not fit in with his teammates either. Mm-hmm. So, like, he was clearly not a good fit for C9.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Just the same way LS wasn't, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And people were still annoyed about the last thing for, like, centuries. But, like, he was clearly not a good fit for your team, guys. For that team, I don't know what to say.
Yeah. Yeah, highly disappointing. It was very hype, but I didn't. I kind of had a sense that something bad will go because this is super team. I just didn't foresee this was the one of the possible reasons for that. But yeah, we will see JoJo in a new uniform for sure, I think. Yeah, next year. And so maybe I'm glad I haven't bought a C9 JoJo jersey. This is just weird. I've heard many different things. This is a first for me where a player is outright fired. Right, Jack didn't even it's try to attempt weird. To sell or like have a buyout. Couldn't negotiate for a buyout. Just and we're of course up to this point. It's still quote unquote a rumor, but C9 has not, you know, has not come out with a statement of any kind. So, for what it's worth, he's fired.
I mean, he's still in the contract database, so
sure.
That sure. is.
There's debatable. No damage control. There was absolutely no damage control on part of C9.
I mean, what the part of C9? What do they have to control for? It's not their reputation that's on the line.
This was a false rumor.
No, because it's not their reputation that's on the line. It's JoJopians. They are not the ones being shown in a bad way. If you think that, I mean,
from the community's standpoint, they
don't think. I think the community is very misguided in this because, like, they. C9 shouldn't be allowed to like say, you know what, we are not going to work with you because you are clearly not interested in working with us. Like, you are not showing up, literally.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that should be the statement that's put out there. Rumors are out there.
It's not resolved yet. They clearly is not resolved yet if he's still in the contract database. So what are they going to say? They cannot talk until it's resolved.
Yeah.
But again, it's not under court because it's not it's not their reputation that's been damaged.
This will go into a legal issue, and oof. I guess we'll see what the fallout is from that. But hey, LCS never short of drama, and now we're inviting CB LOL into that drama and LATAM. all right. Any last thoughts as we kind of close out? Because we will talk more about Worlds in our next episode.
Not really.
Mm-hmm. So the offseason is not anything short of boring. We just won't have any more LCS games for a while. And the next time we see our team, we'll be cheering for them when they hit Worlds. Are you in tune to all the teams at Worlds or just a couple of ours?
What do you mean? Like, I mean, no, I do not watch. No, I only watch like, oh, for the LCS teams.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we gotta support the LCS. That's all.
We're playing. They will face off against.
Oh, never mind. I'm never going to support the LCS versus the LLA. They go versus R7, so I'm definitely not rooting for them. Sorry. I'm always going to be rooting for R7.
Let's root for upset happening, LLA. Let's go. I want to say. So it's China and Korea that has 4 seeds in the Worlds, right?
I assume so.
Okay, so that means we're 100 Thieves is playing against MDK. Oof. That's going to be fun. Well, we'll have time to delve into that, but until next time, thank you for tuning in. I don't really have much going on until our next show. I just hope to continue inviting guests and inviting you all. New fans, I like to hear your voice. I like to hear what you're thinking about going into next year and how we can continue pumping up fandom. I did forget to mention, it sounds like finals week was a huge success with all the watch parties, the events that surrounding it. Everyone looked like they thoroughly enjoyed it, even though it was played in LA.
Yeah, it seemed like fun.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, until we figure out what they're going to do, and the future of the Americas, we hope to hear from you and, you know, what your favorite memory is of the LCS, if this is truly the end of the LCS. That'll be a question for next time. All right. Signing off, any shout outs, any, you know, invitations to your Discord?
No.
It's going to be a quiet off season. All right. As for me, I'll be doing Valorant. I'll try to get back in League. I don't think I'll do solo queue anymore. It's just not worth it. But I still have fun. playing the game every now and then. So if you want to join us, hit me up on Twitter at beafanpot and at prime with a 3 LOL. And for you, I believe it's Edgy Hoon. Still the same handle?
Yep.
All right. Any other... Oh, the LCS profile. Go visit the site. We got great interviews. Archive. Thank you, Arsh. And yeah, if you have someone do you want to hear on the podcast, let us know as well.
Yes. We love having guests.
Love it. All right. Until next time, be a fan.